This is American Fashion Podcast. I'm Charles Beckwith here with Kathy Shappas.
Hey, everyone.
And we are in the studio here with Whitney Casey. Hi, Whitney.
Hi.
And Brooklyn Decker. Hi.
Hello.
And you all have a company called Finery, which is a wardrobe operating system. And as I understand it, if you watch the movie Clueless, and there was the amazing closet that came up with everything you needed, you've built this. For yes. The internet.
Yes, for the internet. And on an app. But as Danielle Bernstein, one of our first early adopters, said, she said, it's the Clueless Closet on steroids.
Excellent.
She's an Instagram influencer. So we were pretty impressed when she said it was on steroids, because we do feel like we have a lot of features.
So what made you want to build this thing? Like, did you start from that as the idea, or did this come from another direction?
Well, we always loved Clueless. I mean, who doesn't? And I love that it's going to be on Broadway now. Did you know that?
No.
Clueless.
They're doing a remake, aren't they?
Yep. Coming back on Broadway. It's very exciting. And actually, when we do marketing, we dress as Cher in all versions of Cher and Dion. Not us. But we have a bunch of people who, like young women who work with us, who dress as that and then pass out flyers. So it's really fun. And people want to take their picture with them and... Yes.
A good little marketing hack.
Yeah, it is a bit of a marketing hack.
But yes, that's how, well, we didn't get the idea from Clueless. Actually, that wasn't even really a thought until Danielle brought that up, saying that it was the Clueless Closet on steroids. And I think because we're space defining, as one of our investors once said, this product has never existed before. It's basically an inventory management system for your wardrobe. And when you think about all the systems you have in place, especially mobily, to help manage your banking, your travel, your communication, I can look at my baby's monitor from another state. I can check my thermostat from across the world, quite literally, and there's nothing out there to help us manage our clothing. We just felt that there was a huge void there. And personally, Whitney and I both spend a lot of money and time on our clothes. It's generally speaking, the second most valuable room in the home behind the garage, and there's no management system for it. And so we thought there was a really big opportunity there. And so we created it. And then when someone brought it back to the Clueless Closet, we were like, yes, that's how we can explain it, because it's really hard to explain something that hasn't really existed before.
Yeah, so tell us how it works. How did you get it to initially work?
So what we do is go back 10 years in your purchase history and automatically upload it into your wardrobe. And as Brooklyn says, it's like witchcraft. But it's actually not. It's actually technology that we have the patent on. It basically culls all of your e-receipts. So anytime you get an e-receipt, we know. And we have little elves reading your email. Just kidding. They're not reading your email. We have computers. And they're actually looking for receipts only. And we've learned the nomenclature. So if you can think of receipts as being a fingerprint, and we took that fingerprint, and it's over 10 years. So they're all different from all different retailers. They're not the same. And we've learned them. The computer has learned them. And what we've done is learn how to then upload those quickly into, like, within seconds, your wardrobe appears in a very organized, you can color coordinate it format. And then the next exciting project that we're working on is basically taking those items and styling them for you. If it wasn't enough to just at least get your wardrobe in your closet, now we're, the next level is styling.
Okay, so the first step is you see this visual of everything that you own, because every one of your e-receipts links back to, obviously, a website image, right?
This doesn't pick up from your credit card or things you bought in a store. Would you manually enter those things, like you bought a sweater from somewhere and you have to type it in?
Well, actually, interestingly, in the past year, what we've seen a lot of is that stores are now, when you buy in store, they're emailing you the receipt. Which is great for us. We didn't expect that. But we did create a tool, a browser tool that looks a lot like Pinterest, that you can Google anything. If you Googled, you have on a black button down, you could Google black button down sweater and put in the brand or the store that you bought it. And inevitably, with the unbelievable internet now, the image comes up. And all you have to do is push little F for Finery, and it adds either to your wardrobe or to your wish list, things you may want.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it must be aggregating an enormous amount of information, right? Because everyone's purchase history is different. So how is it working with stylists helping you? Or how are you styling?
So we've taken sort of a machine learning approach to styling just because it's scalable, right? And so we have humans actually training that model. And so we do have stylists in-house who you can actually message. You can go to finery.com and click message a stylist if you have a holiday party, for example, or any sort of job interview, any event where you want to get dressed. And they can see your Finery account. They can see your wardrobe. And then they can create looks for you, right? And all of this is free. But sort of one step further, we're doing a machine learning approach where we have an algorithm, and that's what Whitney was talking about. It's our styler, where basically you click any item in your wardrobe, click style, and we're giving you styled looks. So women are spending 2.5 hours a week figuring out what to wear, and we're taking a tech-forward approach to that and hopefully reducing that time by 2 hours, 2 hours
and
15 minutes.
And that ends up being 2 years of your life.
Oh, I believe it. I mean, actually, I started to sign up on the app, and then it was like, oh, 10 years e-receipts, I don't have that. I mean, because I want nothing more than to just have somebody go through my closet. And I mean, I've been in the industry forever, but it's painful.
It
I
is
probably
painful.
Have 10 blouses in each solid color.
Yeah,
now,
exactly.
With this tool, you can just throw out everything you didn't buy online and start over, and it's just automatically working.
Actually, I'm hoping it eventually goes into home goods.
Oh, that's the
wow.
plan.
You are
you're very really? Thinking.
Well, because that's you. Because you have to think about people, right? That will be with you for another 10 years, and then they've acquired even more
yep.
things in other areas of their life.
Yep. And those purchases, home purchases specifically. I mean, as is wardrobe purchases are increasingly becoming more online than in store. That's especially true for home goods. I mean, we've seen the numbers soar in the last 2 years. Just people, as sort of millennials are buying their first homes, they're wanting to buy everything online. They're not craving that in-store experience anymore. And so, yes, we see ourselves as starting in the wardrobe because that's where so much mindshare and money is being spent by women. But I mean, the opportunities are pretty endless when you think about just sort of inventory management for the entire household.
Well, and you see that now also with the RealReal. And I mean, are you also, like, where are you taking it, do you think, in the future, else beyond mm-hmm. what you just talked about?
We want to touch every part of your wardrobe. We love the RealReal, and we love Rent the Runway. We love the rental, the recom market. We love all of those, but we want everything that has to do, the operating system for your wardrobe means everything that has to do, anything you do with clothing, we want to be a part of. So if you decide that this thing no longer should exist in your closet, you should be able to sell it. Or you should be able to find someone who's just like you, which is what the data that we have, and be able to sell it to them. Because why would we be matched up? I have a gargantuan foot and you're a tiny human. I guarantee you, you do not have a size 11 foot like I do. So if you were to look at my shoes to possibly purchase them, it would be sort of a futile task. You'd be wasting your time. So instead, we would set... Well, Brooklyn's actually got a smaller foot than me also. Not many people have a giant foot
barely,
like I do.
Barely.
Barely
we can
small.
Still share shoes.
The shoes that I buy that I shouldn't buy because they're actually too small and probably on sale because I bought them because they shouldn't would go to Brooklyn. So she could sign up
Thank
and
you.
Basically get my closet. And so, yes, you're really an amazing business person. Maybe you want to join our team and try to raise our Series A because I think you've got the path and the verticals to... all of our revenue paths down. I'm really like
well,
excited.
It's kind of genius. I mean, just
oh,
it's
thank you.
It's you know, Finery is completely circular
mm-hmm.
because the more I'm seeing on the renting clothing is brilliant. So if people can share, that's really. That gives
handbags,
it a whole other dimension.
And for like a Rent the Runway, for them to be able to see what someone has in their wardrobe and then suggest rentals for them or know that they are only buying basics, but they like to rent their special occasion wear, which is true for most of their customers. I mean, it's just such a great tool for both the user of Finery who can get better recommendations and be more efficient with her search process, right? And it's a really great tool for the retailers because they're not spending a ton of ad space and money trying to market to people that are never going to buy from them or rent from them. So I think it's a really great solution for both the consumer and the retailer. And I think really the tech-first approach that retail has been craving.
So what are your biggest challenges or what have your biggest challenges been?
Well, I think the use case for fundraising. So if you think about it, there's only, 3% of VCs that women can write checks Women cannot write checks in this business. So how are you going to explain to a group of men that only wear 5 outfits and have a vest for every one of those outfits that has their VC name on it? How are you going to explain to them that this is really important to women to get dressed and to think about? And we spend 10 years of our lives shopping and deciding what to wear. And without saying the like phrase, have you ever waited on your wife before you go to dinner? I mean, that's the most insulting thing that you could come to a meeting with. But they eventually say that themselves. And, you know, it's slightly depressing for us, but I would say that's the biggest challenge is our use case, is really understanding, having men understand, men who write the checks, the, you know, VC world is, it's just shocking how few women. And what's even crazier is that out of all the consumer products, women consume the 85% of them. So here we are, these big consumers. We're the biggest consumers on the planet. Yet when it comes to deciding what products are going to be made, we are the tiniest humans. That's crazy.
2% of funding, VC funding, is allocated to women. And it's not because 2% of the companies being pitched are founded by females. Only 2% of VC funding is allocated towards women. And that was the same as last year. So we thought in the last year, especially coming out of tech, that there was going to be a huge boom. We were going to see an uptick in fundraising, right? And money raised by women. And it stayed the same. It's still at 2%.
Really? That's
there's the most amount of money that's ever been available in the venture world right now. And yet women still got the same as they got last year, 2.2%.
Okay, so then when you are laying it out and then they get it at a certain point, is it like a home run? Like,
again, witchcraft. Yeah. That's the way we do it.
It is, though. Our lead and our seed is a male at NEA. And so there are several, we have several male investors who are incredibly forward thinking and totally get it, or they come from retail, kind of understand its challenges, understand sort of the potential. Like, there, we have had incredibly supportive males invest in Finery and have believed in the company from the genesis. But the frustrating thing is it's not to say that men don't want to invest in female-run companies. It's just that, as Whitney was saying, it's really hard to personalize the problem for them. So when you have 30 minutes in a pitch, you're spending 15 of those precious 30 minutes explaining to men why this is important, which in sort of, and again, this is a generalization, but in male pitches, they can spend the full 28 minutes, right, of the 30 minutes actually pitching their business. And so it sort of like sets you apart from the start of the meeting. And that's the challenge, is just the time it takes to really convey how important this is.
So I would, if I was you, start comparing it to golf simulators.
That's interesting.
Oh, you know, we did it to
That's interesting.
Seamless. We were, well, explain that. I would love to hear
that. Yeah, I want
to
hear why golf.
You know, these guys, they love to play golf, but they also love to have these things in their basement where mm-hmm. they can go and practice their swing and have it tracked by like 12 computers, and they keep buying the more and more expensive ones. There's like $50,000 golf simulators that guys put in their basements, and these VCs, most of them have them. So this is a system you put in your house that helps you do your daily life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we could just say golf simulator, blockchain, cloud computing.
Cloud computing, that's the one.
Yeah, yeah. That, yes. Those three things, we'll just say those. Blockchain, golf, cloud computing.
But for clothes.
But for clothing.
Well, and I think the other thing, we had on the creative director a while back from GQ, and GQ, and GQ Digital is really growing. And it was interesting looking at the digital publication, how much instruction was being given to men on how to dress and how to style and how to put things together.
Right. Will Welch or Tim Moore?
Moore, Jim Moore.
Yeah, Jim Moore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's, you know, you're just a little behind us. That's all.
Yeah.
Well, there's less options. Like, maybe in your
light
defense,
years, that's true. Little.
In your
that's
defense, there really are less options. I mean, we can even wear pants under skirts now. I mean, right. So there's typically just speaking, too many options.
Males
the
have
permutations
less.
Yes. are limitless. Right. And for you, they have limits.
You have fewer options.
Yes.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's right.
I'm being fair.
That's See, no, it's absolutely.
Are you proud of me?
I'm very proud of you. There are fewer options for males. I mean, that being said, we do have male users. our head of product was a user and loved the product and came in and it's like, I use this all the time. I didn't want to spend time figuring out what to wear.
Oh, nice.
And I love seeing all my stuff.
And you worked at the NBA, so we could be like sports.
Sports ball. I do like sports.
Basketball.
No, but he like, he's on the subway. He's leaving work. He doesn't want to have to think about what to wear the next day. So he just, it's like an inventory management system for him. I think it's less about the styling and more about the inventory management. But that's what's so cool about the product is, as Whitney was saying, there are several use cases.
Is there a life cycle management tool built into this? So like this undershirt has been in use for 3 years and should be disposed of.
That would be helpful for men, wouldn't it?
That would be helpful for men, really. Women only wear 20% of their wardrobe. So pretty much nothing in their wardrobe needs to really be recycled.
And millennials will only wear, and I'm a millennial, but millennials will only wear a piece of clothing 4 to 5 times. 4 to 5 times.
Really?
That's it.
Why?
It's just, it's a, people are just consuming. And so that's why.
Blockchain.
When you think about sort of a path to revenue, obviously, we want to be able to sort of curate a marketplace where you can buy clothing, right? Like, that's a way for us to monetize. But for us, we're like, let's shop smarter. Let's show you what you have and make sure that you reduce the redundant spend, right, that you're making. Like, don't buy your 10th pair of skinny black jeans. Don't buy your 7th plaid skirt. And that's what I think so many women are doing, because we are taught to consume. So I think sort of absentmindedly, because we don't see what we have on our phone or just anywhere, we don't understand what we have in our closets. It's all, especially in New York, right? Everything's like stuffed in the back. You're trying to fit as much as you can in a small space. People don't see what they have. So they just overspend and they make these redundant purchases. And so I think, I don't want to give millennials a bad rap necessarily, but I think it's just a general unawareness of what they own.
Well, then they've been encouraged to behave this way by the marketing of certain companies that we've mentioned on the show before.
That we consume.
Yeah.
That we consume. Mm-hmm. And that's not a bad thing. It's just, you could do it in a more strategic way where you're shopping less redundantly, or you don't even have to shop less. Just shop smarter.
Yeah.
You know?
So the other thing I noticed on the site, I mean, do you tell people when things go on sale? Obviously, I haven't gone through.
Yes. Oh.
You do? So how's
the other part of our witchcraft?
So how's that working? Is your client also shopping on your site?
So what they
she's
do...
She's discovering.
Yeah, she's discovering. Mm-hmm. We have yet to come out with our magical recommendations, because we have just hired an amazing, amazing data scientist who came from Gilt. And he is working with a big data team that is basically going to use all of the amazing things that you do when you sign up. We give you a 7-minute style quiz and ask you all sorts of things that sort of help us fill the space that your receipts don't. And then your receipts tell a lot. I mean, the most that you can learn about someone is about what they have purchased, not about what they're thinking about purchasing. Because if you look at one of the biggest issues in retail is cart abandonment, right? They go in an e-commerce, people get a total high from putting things into their cart, but they never buy them. So what's better are the things they've purchased. So if you really want to help a woman out, you will know what she's purchased so that you could then make smarter, like Brooklyn was saying, less redundant and more strategic purchases. But what we do is we allow you to add things to a universal wish list. So with that same little Pinterest button that's on your browser, anywhere you shop, if you're at Moda, Matches, Target, Walmart, anywhere across any retailer, you can add anything to one wish list. And they all go. So if you're looking for white booties, you can add white booties from ASOS, from Zara, from anywhere to one list. And then you can kind of look at them all together and say, those are the ones I want. And then we send you a sale alert when it goes on sale.
And we give you return notifications, which is recently, remarkable.
That's unbelievable. Recently, I was thinking, why isn't anybody emailing me about a particular item that I had looked at, about it going on sale? Because only certain sites do that. But so there's so much going on.
So you were looking for that and it didn't happen and you were disappointed now?
I know that's crazy to even admit.
They're training you well.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
No, but you want that.
So you want but that. Your algorithm is literally going through all your emails. Is that right?
Your e-commerce receipts.
Yeah, receipts.
But
so
in
we're
order
not
to
reading.
Get those, I'm not giving you those. You're finding them? Or
you're searching for those. Yeah. For like order confirmation, receipts, etc.
So maybe this is a big question, but there's so much going on with privacy you know, and I know there's something you check off. Like how are you covering all bases there?
Well, we take privacy really seriously.
It's our number one.
It's our number one priority when it comes to our girl, because what we've always felt is that your data should work for you. And what's really upsetting to us is that your data currently is working for everyone else but you. So you're just telling us right now, you really wish these shoes that you've clicked on, somebody would tell you when they went on sale. However, instead, what's happening is these shoes you've clicked on, they don't know if you've purchased them or not, so they're going to suggest to you every pair of shoes. All the people out there in the universe are trying to buy to get you to buy their shoe instead of that shoe on sale. So instead, how about you use that data, all that data that you create in the hours and hours that you shop and you spend and you try to make outfits, and use it to make your life easier and to more productive. And so we're always real proponents of, when you create a data footprint, it should belong to you. And so we do not sell any of our data, and we do not plan on selling any of our data to retailers or to advertisers or marketers. We plan on using it solely for you.
Okay, well, that's great, because it's powerful data. I mean, you basically know the colors and, you know, that's predominantly in people's wardrobes.
Just think about the sizes. How many times are you wondering how many girls across, like if you think about the way that you can cross-populate information, not that I have to know your name or anything, but if I have a lot of the same purchases you do and we are purchasing the same brands and you are purchasing different sizes and we are the same size, but yet in another brand that I've never owned, you've purchased this size, and yet we align in other brands, then I will know for this other user that this size is very, like, is going to be your wheelhouse size. And we're not going to say, like, well, Brooklyn, your size was this, so therefore, Whitney, your size is this. No, nobody, no names, just, hey, this information is helpful across the community.
That's smart. I like that. So you were an anchor for ABC and CNN. Did you cover style and fashion before this?
No.
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 Is this a relief or is it more stressful?
Oh, it's way more stressful. My goodness. What's so great about the media is that you start in the morning, you cover a story, 5 o'clock news, Wolf Blitzer show, you finish it up, you are finished, and you are only as good as your last story. And this is nothing like that. You are in it for the long haul. There is a struggle every day. It is like a roller coaster. It is exhilarating and exhausting in like 1 hour. Like an
it's
hour
ago. It's a 24
ago.
Hour problem. An hour, yeah.
Two hours ago, we were like, wah, wah, and then all of a sudden,
we were having very serious conversations and a very, very horrible day. And then literally within an hour, it was like, oh, it's. Life is good and we are golden. We're smooth sailing for the next 10 years. I mean, it's like, it's crazy how much it can change. And as you were saying, like, for what you did, I feel like it was a 5-hour stress ball. And with entrepreneurship in general, especially tech, it's a 24-hour stress ball.
Yeah.
Stress ball. What is that?
It's
how old is the business?
3 years.
Oh, 3 years.
So that in dog years. In 8 years in crow's feet.
That's
is
so true.
Like 50.
Oh, it's like dog years.
It is.
Well, so how did you get from being a news anchor to running a fashion tech company?
It's really more tech than fashion, I would say. And really, technology is about solving for a problem that is currently a white space and then finding other technologies that possibly work for the same thing. So we were both using a bunch of different technologies like Spotify, TripIt, and Mint. These are all, one is for traveling, one is for your finances, one is for music. And if all of that exists, it could be put together to make something that is totally outside of that use case. And if you can just, that's just like cooking, or it's like putting together an outfit. Or anything. I hate using two like incredibly female things, but I'm just trying like to be a VC. So that I feel like if you can hodgepodge things together, then you can be a tech entrepreneur, because you don't have to reinvent the wheel. The wheel's already out there. I mean, the real, like the Elon Musk of the world are just sort of creating things out of their mind, which is amazing. We can also use those to create something. But you don't have to be the first inventor of anything. You just have to be the inventor of how you reuse it.
So still, how did you get to fashion?
I worked for Match.com. When I was working in news, I ended up writing a book. And the book was about relationships. And it was not a first-person book. It was I interviewed a bunch of people about how you date and how relationships happen. And then I would get the solution, just like a journalist would do. Here's the problem. Now you interview somebody who has the solution. And so then I got this great gig when I had my book deal with Match.com. And then from there was an unbelievable female CEO, Mandy Ginsberg, who now runs all of Match, the public company. And a remarkable woman who just taught me so much and let me explore and be, you know, very curious about how the product works and how big companies work and how you get users. And I became a part of that odyssey and it was really great. And then that's where I think you can really understand tech companies and products and learn. So media sort of spun itself into a really unbelievable idea of what product is. And then Brooklyn and I were friends for, we've been friends 7 years, and we always sat around the kitchen table. We're just both inventors, and we would just think of these crazy ideas. They were terrible ideas. Just
did
the
we
tens.
Buy? I feel like we bought
something for the tens.
I think we bought that domain.
The tens?
I think so, if I remember correctly. We might have another site out there in the ether.
Yeah.
I think we might actually.
Like the top 10 things that are hard to get. It was just dumb ideas. And that's the thing is like once you have enough dumb ideas, there's one that may be good.
So did you ever actually start on the road of any of those dumb ideas?
Yeah, about the website.
We did. We did one of them. We were exploring it. There were sort of a lot of obstacles and a lot of it was, you know, we had to have warehouse space and we had to have inventory and we're going to have to push inventory. And what does that look like? And that seems really expensive. And ultimately what it came down to is it was just based, our business ideas were based on selling women more stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. The two of us are true consumers. But we thought there has to be another approach to this. And that's where sort of the inventory management idea came from. And it was Whitney's brainchild. It really was. And we did it together, but it was Whitney's brainchild, which she never takes credit for. But it really, like, we kept saying, okay, we're selling more stuff to women or to people. And there's already a lot of, there are good retailers out there already doing this and doing it really well and doing it better than we could. Let's think about something else. Let's think outside the box. And that's kind of how Finery started, was like finding sort of the alternative to e-com, but still being in that space.
So there is no inventory. Is there a membership fee? Is that how you're making money, or is it sponsors or
pre-revenue?
Yes, we're pre-revenue.
Yeah,
we're a true tech company. Mm-hmm. You know, Twitter, Snapchat,
yeah,
binary,
same.
Okay, so
blockchain.
How are you marketing it? I mean, how do you have influencers? Can you have influencers?
We
using
naturally.
A service
they like sign how to, up
we
naturally.
Do they're using it
they have I mean, the most inventory
exactly and they have and they want to they want people they wear their clothing right their outfits and then people want to buy from them and so for them to be able to put looks together and have an inventory management system that keeps track of everything they have and they're all living in multiple cities and living out of suitcases and they just want something to help them and so before we launched we actually reached out to a lot of influencers and wasn't a lot it was actually a sort of a well-curated group but several influencers and said, can you guys just log in? It's free. We don't need you to talk about us. We don't need you to promote us. We just want you to use the product and give us your feedback. And so a lot of our big features in the early days were based on that user feedback because we thought for them specifically, if each one of them had 100,000 followers or 1 million followers, they were speaking to our user, right? And they would be able to understand what their follower really needed and was really looking for and would be able to help inform our product for our user.
We're throwing a little New York Fashion Week tailgate party, and you should come. That's right, it's another New York Fashion Week pregame show, and we're doing it live on stage this time, January 29th at the Cutting Room on 32nd Street. That's a Tuesday night. Kathy and I will be joined by none other than Gary Wassner and Lauren Sherman,
And if you don't know who they are, you should listen to this show more often. Plus some special surprise guests, New York Fashion Week related guests. So it's $25 for an early bird ticket. And once those run out, $35 is general admission. And if you want to splurge, we have two private balconies available to bring the whole office. That's a little more pricey, but there's an open bar for that. And a big chunk of the ticket sales is going to a fashion related charity. And I couldn't decide which one. So we're going to decide it randomly on stage from Mystery Envelopes, Wheel of Fortune style. So that's January 29th, 6 p.m., the New York Fashion Week pregame show. Tickets available at designflaw.wtf and AmericanFashionPodcast.com.
So I'm curious, users across the country, any particular, is it like right across the country or mostly Northeast or?
Everywhere. We're big in cities. Mm-hmm. So we're big on the coasts. We're big in Texas. Of
course. Everything's big
we're
in Texas.
We're big in Texas.
Yeah, it's like everything.
We're big and everything is.
Yeah. But no, it's all over. It's,
yeah, it follows.
It's
actually, we did a comparison since we have all that data with Nielsen just to see sort of what our data pool would be and how it compares with Nielsen. And in the top 25 markets, we actually sort of outscore Nielsen in terms of data.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, like, to find your users everywhere. And I definitely credit that to Brooklyn because she basically is in charge of growth but has built this community we call the Finest. And these women are from all over. And they are the reason why any feature that exists on Finery is not because Brooklyn and I think, well, we use this, because you are never your use case. Like, these women who are out there, our girl makes over $100,000, but she shops everywhere from Target, Sephora, Nordstrom, Walmart, everywhere. And she has a second degree, which is pretty unbelievable. 70% of them are in relationships. So the girls between the ages of 28 and 34, it's a girl who is working and needs a productivity platform like this.
She's and, busy.
Yeah, she's a busy
a full
woman.
Life and
Mom.
She's busy and she needs something to help her. Yeah. We talked to someone in Sweden last week, actually. One of our Finest users was in Sweden. And she's like, I need more
map?
Swedish influencers on here.
The heat map had like Serbia.
Yeah. There was one in Mauritius.
Oh, yes.
Which is off the coast of Madagascar. I'm like, I want to visit that user.
Yeah.
Let's go do a user interview in Mauritius. That sounds incredible. Smack dab in the middle of the Indian Ocean.
It's a really good use
yes,
of funds,
please.
Brooke. Really good use of
yeah.
funds.
Yeah. We'll do that one day when we have a big exit.
One day.
We'll
yes.
do that. We'll go visit our user in
when
Mauritius.
When we're worth a billion.
So that's a lot to manage feedback, too, right? On users? How's
yeah.
it working?
Yeah. But it's. I mean, they're giving us so much because they're testing all features before we launch them and giving us that feedback. And I mean, some of our greatest, stickiest features have come from user feedback. One early on was from an influencer who, I have two kids now. This was, I think, either my son was a baby or like before he was born. And she was trying out the product. This is when we were in beta. And she said, okay, I'm shopping for my daughter and I'm getting all my daughter's clothes into my wardrobe. And Whitney and I just didn't even think about, we're getting all these receipts. So you shop from Zara, you shop for yourself and for your children there. We didn't even think about separating kids from adults, right? And so like that feedback before we launched was invaluable, because if a user logs in and sees all kids' clothes, she's going to be like, this isn't my wardrobe. What is this? And so immediately we were able to categorize and separate those items. So users have been really, really instrumental in building out the product. And so yes, it is a lot to try to stay on top of being super responsive, and especially as we grow, staying on top of all that. But it's really like their feedback is, it's kind of the in the fabric of our company.
But Brooklyn does office hours and meets with them. And today we had a young woman in who is part of the Finest who came in for office hours because she had a bunch of ideas. And then also today, Brooke
that.
Did a live, we use Instagram as our channel because that's where our girl is. But she did a live sort of, she basically talks to all of our Finest. And they get on this channel and we start showing them different products. Brooklyn's always doing it. I just joined today for the first time, which was exciting. And you ask them about products, you show them different things, and they all weigh in and they have great ideas. So, but that's her responsibility, and she takes it very seriously. In growth, she has metrics that Brooke meets all the time. She's head of growth. So we both have, we have dual responsibilities, and we both really rely on each other and respect each other's time, but also know we both have metrics to meet for each other. And we hold each other very accountable.
Yes, we do.
So that's great. You're basically having your own focus groups.
Exactly.
So you have all that feedback. I mean, that has to be powerful when you're in front of investors.
It is. It's funny. Like, they are really putting a lot of stock in a community, which is really exciting, because I didn't think that would actually be very important to them. And for them to have users who have, like, fully adopted and invested their time and give us the feedback and test for us and are just constantly in the product, that is really meaningful to them. I think especially because we're still seed stage, I think for them that shows sort of like, okay, this is a product people really want to spend their time in and invest in. I think that's really valuable to them. But it surprised me. I just thought it would all be about sort of numbers and cents to them. And it is, but the community is really important to them.
That's evidence of traction.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. It's just stickiness. So it's something we take very seriously, and starts off, you know, it's like a few people, and then it sort of builds. And our finest group is private on Instagram. So people are now like, you get more requests and people wanting to join, and they're logging in and they're signing up for, and it grows, and people tell their friends, and it's really special. It's fun. And also for us, I think it can be so taxing. As you were saying, it's sort of a 24-hour problem you're trying to solve. And when you sort of lose track or feel overwhelmed by it all, when you go back to the user and you're like, okay, this is where we're doing it. This is the problem she has. This is what we can solve for. It just kind of, it's a little bit grounding.
But Brooke has two children and a full career, still one of the most popular shows on Netflix. And she's doing this also. So it's not like, and this is what I'm doing all the time. It's like she has to balance that. And I think she really relates to our girl. That's what our girl is doing. Balancing.
Which show?
Grace and Frankie.
It's the second most popular show on all of Netflix.
Yeah.
She's Jane Fonda's daughter.
Oh, my God.
People.
Right. Yeah.
There's a lot of Netflix. I have not watched this one yet.
No, that's okay. We have...
Oh, it's so good.
It was their first original half hour, and we have season 5 coming out soon. It's actually being announced tomorrow.
I only watched the first season. Sorry. That show is fun, though.
It is really good. Mm-hmm. Lily Tomlin.
Jane Fonda. Martin Sheen.
I mean, amazing.
Yeah. You must have a lot of fun making that.
I sure do. It's a blast. Yeah. They're just unbelievable talents.
And so her sister, like, June, soak that in. On the show is also like her friend in real life. And her sister June even has a startup that she has now, Brooklyn inspired her. She would say herself that Brooke was inspiring about that. Anyway, Brooke will never say that. And June has her own new startup,
called
the Jane Club.
A working space with an emphasis on the working mother. So it's a co-working space, and they have childcare on site, which, like, holy crap. When you think about, I have a friend who's pregnant right now, and she's like, it's an 18-month waiting list to get my child into day. She works full time. It's an 18-month waiting list to get her. And this is in Charlotte, North Carolina. This isn't in New York, right? It's not in a huge city. It's in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's 18-month waiting list to get her kid into a daycare so she can work. So she's like, how am I supposed to sign my unborn baby up on an 18-month wait list if I'm pregnant for 10 months, for 40 weeks? It makes no sense. And so basically she's going to have to hire a nanny because there's no alternative, right? So her salary, her full salary is going into childcare. So for her, she's like, what am I working for? I mean, the problem, we could have a whole podcast about the problem for mothers in this country and just childcare in general. But the Jane Club is trying to solve for that, which is
so
wonderful.
They already have a location in L.A.
And 100%
retention. I don't know, considering all you both have going on, you both seem pretty calm.
We do have a podcast about that. We have a show called Mom's Got This with two women who are business leaders, and they talk about juggling their lives as moms.
We'll connect. They should have June on, because
June is amazing. She's hilarious.
And she's one of the funniest people you'll ever
meet.
She's
both said
it. UCB. Like, she's a comedian. She's unbelievably talented.
That would be great.
So smart. She's politically active. She's writing a book right now. I'm in awe of that woman. It's how I feel about Whitney.
She's probably going to do something in blockchain next.
Cloud computing.
I mean, maybe the two of you should be thinking about your own podcast.
Oh, we don't have time.
Podcasts are so hard to produce. And you have, you know what's really interesting? You have so much time on them.
You have Mouth Media produce it. All you have to do is come in an hour a week and talk. All you have to
do is do a ton of research on everything. You guys do a ton of research.
You do.
And you, all these people that you...
She does.
She does. She did. She's like... basically learned all about what we've ever and then also knows our product roadmap and our path to revenue. What the
Kathy used to be the president of Doncaster, and she was the vice president at Kate Spade, and
I read that
Kathy knows her stuff.
Very impressive.
Kathy, don't joke that.
Well, you know, it's your eyes have to go and your brain just has to go to every single level, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's all day, all night.
It's thrilling. It really, like, it's energizing and exhausting at the same time. It's funny how that, it's really, it keeps your brain going. You're right.
And then you have a time period where everything seems like, we all do, right? Where everything seems like, ugh, everything is so bad. And then it's like one thing can just change that. And
it is so funny.
Yes, this is all good.
One investor.
Well, yeah, exactly.
In our case, it was one investor.
On That's the way exactly here. Right.
Yep. We got a thumbs up and we're like, it's all
And then, of course, good. I sent him back a fist bump with 100%. I was like, maybe not the best.
And exactly you can't take those back.
No, nope. Nobody can't take his back either. So there.
So where do you think this is going? If you really get it launched, do you see this being something that just everybody uses?
Well, just like Brooke used to say, you're not seeing anybody carrying around their CDs anymore. You know, there has not been a lot of technology out of your closet ever, except for like slim hangers, right? I mean, just think. I mean, you should not have to be standing in front of your closet in this very analog way to decide what to wear. You should have a lot of help. You should have a lot of help with what to shop for. And we really believe, and not even if it wasn't just us that created it, we really believe this is the part. Everybody will be walking around with a virtual closet that automatically uploads everything you buy. And that you will be able to share it with friends and be able to have your friends make outfits. You will have outfits made for you. And your life will be a whole lot simpler. And the shopping, the amount of time that you spend shopping, which that, like we said earlier, 10 years. It's 8 years, but it's 2 years deciding what to wear. That's pretty remarkable. So we think that everybody will have this, just like everybody has Spotify or iTunes, what iTunes did for uploading your music. I mean, how many people sat with their CDs? And I mean, I did.
I did.
You did?
Yes, of course. Yes. Yes.
Really?
Oh my goodness. Putting in that disk drive.
Yes.
Uploading. And then it wouldn't automatically get the names. And you have to manually type in all the album names and the song names.
We type in all the names for you.
I know, exactly. That's what Finery's doing.
I did that because I wanted them on my iPod.
Exactly.
Right. And that's what these women, you want it on your phone. You want your closet. You want to be able to be sitting in the carpool lane or sitting
on the subway,
sitting at work, because a lot of our girls use our product at work on Mondays. It's like one of the highest traffic days. And sitting there and deciding what to wear at your, you know, wedding the next weekend or whatever, that you're not sitting there in front of your closet where you can't really see anything anyway. And you see it in the same order. And to be able to say, like, or for Finery to say, you haven't worn this in a bit, this goes with this. And, you know, our whole premise is also wear the clothes you have, stop buying, and really just invest in some of the things you have and learn how to wear them, and then purchase really smart, strategic pieces.
Now, are you going to be identifying which are ecologically sound, like, sustainable products in the closet and encouraging that sort of thing within the system?
Once we get a B round, an A round first, and then it would be great to have a big enough team to only support sustainable fashion, like a Reformation or, you know, companies like that that are really doing a lot, because the fashion industry has a lot. The amount of waste is second only to the oil industry. So it's sort of like, that's not our founding ethos, but we really care about that in a way that can, once we get bigger and have enough employees. I mean, we have a tiny team. We have 19 employees right now, mostly our developers and data scientists. Brooke and I always joke, like, we don't code. There's probably two other people who don't, and that's it in our entire company.
We've got a lot of fashion industry listeners, and I think quite a few people are saying 19 is a huge team, but for the fashion industry, not for the tech industry.
Yeah, tech, t-
For new businesses, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually a really big company for a seed stage company. But, you know, if you look at some of the bigger tech companies, I mean, they have, you know, even just Rent the Runway has 11 data scientists. You know, that's amazing. And she is a pioneer. Jen Hyman is a pioneer in this. And so is Katrina Lake with Stitch Fix. I mean, all these use cases, Katrina Lake could not get funded. Not a single VC would fund her. And now she IPO'd. We need a lot more of those.
No, you both have huge careers, but you're not able to self-fund a company like this, a tech company. You have to go and get funding.
We've raised $7 million.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to take that kind of risk yourself. You put in your time.
Actors aren't making what they used to these days.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. No.
I'm not Wolf Blitzer.
Also for tech, because most tech companies, it takes them longer to find that, to monetize, right? It just does. We're not necessarily selling product, and few tech companies are. You really do rely on VC. And we always say, especially female entrepreneurs, if you don't have to raise and you don't have to get expensive money, aka venture capital, don't do it.
Money is expensive.
People
want a piece of your company for that money.
It's expensive money. And so that's why almost all tech companies are funded by venture capital. But if you don't have to do that because you're bringing in revenue early on, or you're selling something, or you have direct to consumer. But typically when you're doing VC, it's because you're either pre-revenue or you just need to scale quickly, right? You look at these big brands who are doing a ton in sales, but they want to just grow, and then eventually IPO. And to sort of reach that growth quickly, they're doing VC. And so for us, I mean, we couldn't self-fund.
Has all of this stuff been a big learning curve for you, or did you come in and with ideas about business and how it works, or I mean, coming from kind of different careers?
I knew nothing at all. Nothing.
And I don't know if you do business reporting as a journalist.
Whitney knew a lot.
I guess, as a journalist, but what I always say is Brooklyn is like the OG journalist. If she didn't know about it, she does now, and look out, world. And that's in everything. When she doesn't know about something, she reads more than you need to read. And like I'm telling you, there'll be like, I'll say one thing and then she'll come back and be like, well, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like,
give me a day. I don't know what you're talking about. Just give me 24 hours.
And then I'm going to know more than you. And it is really true. It's like, you've never seen anything like it. There's certain people that you know in your life that can really just absorb a lot of information or just read a lot, but they also don't process it, or they can't use, like, I feel like Brooke's like a giant CPU, like the central processing unit, who basically can take an idea from here that she's read about and then process it through another channel that's totally different. Like, well, you can use this here. And I think that's truly believe that's a smart person can take something that is applicable here and then, you know, apply it in a completely different vertical over here. And I feel like you do that all the time.
Well, that was your idea for the company. So you did that just with Finery. A few short years ago, my dear.
This is true.
You did. You are a sponge. You're curious. I think both of us are very curious people. And so Whitney came into this experience with a lot of knowledge. And this is something you would have never committed to starting a company if you didn't know everything about it. And so Whitney came in incredibly prepared. I think I definitely learned sort of on the fly.
But we have to have each other, because the thing is, you can't, I just feel like having a co-founder, the days that I am just spent. And I mean, I remember one time we had to let go of an employee and it was really tough. And I like called Brooke and I was like, oh, I can't. I just like love this girl so much, but she keeps like underperforming. And, you know, Brooke said, like, Whitney, you asked her to come in at 9 a.m. She can't even do that. Like, get over it.
She's not coming to work on time. You told her you wanted her to come on work on time. You gave her a very simple deliverable, and she didn't deliver.
But it's
that was
that
a hard conversation. But it's those days. Those days are really, I'm sure as you guys know, are really, really hard. And it really helps to have someone by your side when you're in those days.
Totally. And also that Brooke is the like quintessential contrarian, which is sometimes amazing.
Obnoxious.
Sometimes you want to absolutely murder her. But you know what she's saying is because she wants to push you outside of what you're predisposed to thinking. And because we also have a baseline level of respect for each other. in a way.
Yeah. I mean, it's really what's making the partnership what it is. Just listening to the two of you, you know what I mean? The support and respect for one another, and you really have a lot of fun. I mean, I think that's part. That's the hard part of having, you know, starting your own business. It's picking the right partner.
Yeah. Having fun.
That's true.
And having fun, yeah.
So for our listeners who have fashion companies and do e-commerce, what can they do to make their emails that they send as receipts compatible with your system? Do you have a guide on your website that tells people how to Shopify do this? Or
we just learn it. Our technology learns it. So all they have to do is if they see that they've signed up and they don't see their items, we support almost 1,000 retailers right now. So without having any partnerships with them, because we're retail agnostic, we don't have to have the partnership. But if they see that their items don't show up in their closet, just email us and say, hey, we're a tiny boutique, or, you know, there are a couple stores in Austin that we made a point of like really finding and understanding their receipts. But all they have to do, if they're on an e-commerce platform and, you know, we want to discover them, which is so cool. We would love to introduce them to our users. Our users love discovering new brands. So email us, tell us about your brand. We would love to, especially if you're female founded, we would love to support you.
Okay. So what's the website and what's the email?
help@finery.com.
Okay.
And we did it with three retailers last week. There were three brands, all female founded, who separately had reached out to me saying, hey, and they were all founders or someone sort of high up in the company reaching out being like, hey, I love Finery, I love what you're doing, but our clothing isn't on there. And in 2 days, all of those retailers were supported. So we can get it done pretty quickly if you just let us know if you're, again, like maybe you are starting out, maybe you have a few thousand, you know, customers or whatever it is, and you're like, I just really want one of ours. It's called Shop Buru, and it's female founded, and it's really specializes. It focuses on moms and sort of clothing that's washable that can sort of bring you through all stages of pregnancy and, you know, post pregnancy and all of that. And she has built her business. We're really like advertising all these businesses. I'm loving it.
All
these female founded companies. So she, Morgan is her name. Basically, she goes around the country in an RV and does like old school trunk shows. And so, but they're growing a ton, right? And her customers are sort of in like third tier markets that don't have access to sort of the bigger retailers, and they don't necessarily want to shop online because they're not familiar with it or they don't know how things will fit them. So she comes into cities and they shop from her exclusively. So she'll go through 4 times a year and they will buy all of their clothing from her. And she's like, I would love to be able to, the company's based in LA. She's like, I would love to be able to from afar be like, hey, I know what you've purchased because I can log into your Finery. I know exactly what you purchased. Here's what we have coming on next season so that I don't have to take my RV to Birmingham. You know, she's like, that would save us so much time and money and be able to give more to our customers. So anyway, she reached out last week and we now support Shop Buru like in a couple of days. So if you're a company and you don't see your items, you know, automatically come in when you log in, just reach out and we'll add them in.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming.
This was fascinating.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Thank great you. Questions. And also for if you have any other ideas for our revenue.
Okay, yes. I'll be sure to write to you.
I mean, you are like in the first 2 minutes you said that. Like home goods would be really good. Yeah. Like, oh my God, slide 24. See, this is apparel is a $2.4 trillion industry and now home goods. Thank you.
4.5.
Well, with all fashion. Yes.
All fashion, including accessories, $4.5 trillion a year.
I just put clothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Use the bigger number.
Yeah, you're right.
we always say we don't want to overpromise and underdeliver. That's like we live by that, but apparently everyone does.
Let's just start over delivering.
I know. Well, that's yeah.
And
amen, sister.
Promising always.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
To get on the guest list for our live events, go to AmericanFashionPodcast.com and look for the live shows link. AFPOD, AFPOD, is our Twitter handle, and I personally am fashion tech guru on just about everything. On Instagram, we are at American Fashion Show. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, there's a Be a Guest form on the AmericanFashionPodcast.com website. For comments, our voicemail line is 646-979-8709 or email info@AmericanFashionPodcast.com.
American Fashion Podcast is produced by Mouth Media Network, which holds the copyright to this and other episodes of the series, all rights reserved. Subsist, friends. Keep making things beautiful. I'm Charles Beckwith, and we'll talk to you again next week.